And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. And on this show, we like to share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still skeptical about faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on this show. It's pretty simple. We share the Word and we pray that God will open up your hearts to receive the Word today and also give you spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. And on this program, we like to start with a scripture reading. Today, I have two of my favorites. I can't believe I haven't shared these with our audience previously. But they both come from the Apostle Paul, New Testament. The first one is Galatians 2:20. So I'm going to read the whole verse, and then I'm going to back up and read the back half of it. So it goes like this. This is the Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Again, I'm going to read that back half again. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And our next verse, kind of a companion verse to this, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is also writing to the Corinthian church. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Our Bible readers that listen to this show will be very familiar with this verse. It references the new creation. It goes like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creation. Thanks again for joining us this morning. We have all of our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. We would love for you to visit the site, leave us a comment, and we would also love your prayer requests. We love to pray for you no matter what you're going through. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The first annual Derby Dames 5K run will be on November 17th at 9 a.m. at Cardinal Point Winery in Afton. For more info, go to CharlottesvilleDerbyDames.com. The Great American Smokeout is on November 15th from 11 to 1 at the Carver Rec Center in Charlottesville. Drop in anytime to get free personalized assistance to help you quit tobacco once and for all. There will be free food, door prizes, massages, and more. Bring the entire family to experience Grand Illumination at Boar's Head on November 23rd, starting at 5 p.m. Enjoy a lighting ceremony, carriage rides, hot chocolate, and pictures with Santa. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation, though you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, we have Amy Lancaster from Jackson, Mississippi with us. Amy is making a visit this weekend to Charlottesville for the Women Abide Conference, put together by last week's guest on the program, Joan Hutter. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
We'd like to start the program, if you don't mind, kind of sharing your faith journey. Let's just start there and sort of have a conversation around that.
Okay. Well, I grew up very poor in rural Mississippi and went to a very, very dead little religious Methodist church. And Jesus called me. I first gave my life to Christ as a little girl when I was 10 years old, and I ran to the altar. It caused quite an upset because nobody ran to the altar in that church at all. And it's very dramatic, very, very, very dramatic in my life. And I began, we didn't have a children's pastor or a youth pastor or anything like that. I just began to read the Word myself and hear the voice of the Lord and write down things He would tell me. And I didn't know if that was good or bad, or I didn't even know that's what it was for a long time because I didn't have anybody discipling me except the Lord. And then walked with the Lord for many, many years, and He would talk to me, and I would write down what He would say. And then when I went off to college, I made a really stupid decision. I had to decide, was I going to continue to follow Christ, or was I going to be popular? And that all the really things at the time that were really pulling on my life, and I made the wrong decision. I chose to walk away from Jesus, and it's a long story, but the short version is I was raped when I was 18 years old, and from there became very, very, very destructive, and from men to alcohol to ultimately try to take my life, and praise the Lord, I did not. And Jesus took me back. And I always tell people, He's more than willing to take you back. And He completely changed my life. And my promise to Him, after all those years and I asked Him, would He take me back? My promise to Him is the same that it is today. And that is, Jesus, I don't believe You would take me back. But if You would, I'd give You my whole life. And He did. And He did take me back. And He has kept His promise, and I've kept mine. And that led into something I never thought would happen. I married a wonderful, wonderful, godly man, and God gave us children and ministry and all these things that followed that I'm walking in today that has affected and is affecting even right now at almost 50 years old.
Wow. I want to touch down delicately during that painful period of your life and just reflect on that for a moment in terms of walking with God through pain and suffering. We've talked a lot about that on this program. And can you give us any more kind of insight in terms of did you hear from God when you were feeling broken? Or was it the type of thing you were reaching towards Him? Did you feel a nudge from Him? Or what?
Not at all. I turned my back completely on the Lord, and I walked away 100%. And I told Him to leave me alone. I really wanted to run my own life, and I wanted to be popular and beautiful, and I wanted to be in sororities, and I wanted to go out with, you know, cool guys, and I did all those things. And I just completely walked away. And so I now understand, of course, that the Lord was incredibly gracious, and I'm sure there was somebody praying for me, but I've never... And that never met anybody in all these years since that have said, hey, I was really praying for you. My parents are not believers. And I didn't know if anybody was crying out to the Lord. And the night that I tried to take my life, several years of me walking away from Jesus had gone by, and I had tried everything. I became bulimic and anorexic and very, very suicidal. And I was very successful. I was in dental school and had a good brain. But that didn't mean that my heart and my soul wasn't broken. And so I climbed out the window in the building that I was living in my last year of dental school, and decided that I would jump off the building. And I knew I would die. It was a very, very hard, very high building, and I had no doubt that I would die, and was certain that I would go to hell. Didn't write a note, didn't tell anybody, didn't call anybody. And as I started to jump, the only word that came out of my mouth was Jesus. That's the only word that came out of my mouth. And that word stopped me. And I always tell people that the name of Jesus is that powerful. It literally stopped me as I started to jump. And it stopped me, and I stopped and paused. And then I stood there long enough to take a breath or two before I started to jump again. And then I said, Jesus, I don't think You'd take me back. But if You would, I'd give You my life. And literally the arms of Jesus Christ came out of that window, and He literally pulled me back off the edge and took me back.
Mm. Okay, so let me lay a verse down on you that I know you're going to be familiar with, but for our listeners, maybe they've heard this, maybe they haven't, but this is just what pops into my head when I hear that specific story. It's John 10:10. that where Jesus says
thief
that
he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God, Christ came that we would have life and have it more abundantly.
Have it to the full and have it overflowing. And it seems to me like in that moment you experienced both ends of that verse.
Absolutely. And even now, with what we do now, living in a really hard place and ministering to really difficult people and prostitutes and drug addicts and all that, many people say, even now, not even if they don't even know my testimony, they'll say, I don't know how you minister to those people. And I usually quote John 10:10, and it's actually on the side of one of our mission houses here, and I say to them, we are all those people. The way that I can do it is because I'm her, I'm him, I'm no different, and Jesus reached out his arms to me. He's no respecter of persons.
This is Everyday Faith Radio, and our guest today is in Jackson, Mississippi. She's coming to Charlottesville this weekend. Amy Lancaster is going to be one of the speakers this weekend at the Women Abide Conference. It's at Connect Church on Hydraulic Road, right next door to Albemarle High School. It's going to be an awesome event, and I love your story as I'm getting to know you, Amy. I'm wondering, as we head towards the break, what would you say if somebody just sort of stumbled on this radio station this morning? They weren't looking to hear anything from somebody about God's word or hear about faith. In fact, they've sort of turned from that. Imagine it's a person who's in a really difficult situation in their life, and they need the love of Jesus in their life like you did, like you experienced in your younger life. What would you say to that person who just happens to turn on the radio right now and hears from Amy Lancaster about the love of Jesus?
Call on his name. The Word of God says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And some people hear that and they say that that's religious. But if you're in a situation where you're really desperate and you have, he is our hope. He is our peace. And if you don't even know what else to pray, if you call out his name, even if you scream it at the top of your lungs, if you call on the name of Jesus, I promise it, he will come. He promises he'll show up, and he will heal. He will deliver. He will save. He will sweep in. And even if you've done it a million times, you call upon his name, and he will show up. He is our peace. He is our Savior. He is. And he will take you back, just like he took me back. He will. Many people believe there's no hope left because of what all they've done. The most amazing thing about Jesus Christ to me is that he will take you back.
Your faith journey just sparked another thought. About 2 months ago on this program, we had my good friend Conley Gillum on the show, and we walked out a theory that I have a feeling, Amy, you're going to agree with. And the theory is that when your life is a wreck and you're feeling at the low point, low tide of your life, you're actually never more eligible for an encounter with Jesus. And that's that's something else that just sort of flashed in my mind as I was listening to your incredible faith journey. Would you have any comment on that?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that's one of the reasons that we all enjoy reading scripture. Even people that aren't born again, they will buy things with scripture on it, or they'll wear scripture, you know, on bracelets, or they'll buy a scripture sign, or they'll buy something that has a psalm or a proverb on it. And the reason is because it is so real. Whether it was King David at the low, low point of what he went through and his adultery, or whether it was Paul, you know, hunting down and killing Christians and the lowest point, literally blinded by the Lord. And so that's one of the reasons that it's so tangible, is it's just the truth, is that I don't believe you have to get to the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the barrel. Some people will say that you have to hit rock bottom. I don't agree that you have to, but we as human beings are pretty stubborn. And a lot of times we just fight God for too long. And when we are in a really, really hard place and we call out to him, he's amazing, and he shows up every single solitary time. There's not a time if someone cries out to him and they call out to his name and they call out in repentance, he will always come, period. He will always come.
Amen. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back in just a few moments with our special guest today, Amy Lancaster, who's coming to town for the Women Abide Conference this weekend. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Fox on Family.
Let it go. So much easier said than done, especially if we've had an issue with our kids.
The younger that they are, we're trying to be so cautious, knowing what's out there and knowing what we're preparing them for.
We all make mistakes, though, and certified therapist, author, and grandmother Lori Dixon says acknowledging our own missteps lets kids begin to learn empathy and forgiveness. You can start young, doing artwork together, make a mistake, fix it, and move on.
So that they understand that when you make a mistake, you create a system or a process to work out of it.
But we also have to model forgiving ourselves.
Well, if we don't let it go and we bring it back up again and we bring it back up again, it becomes something that is more of a connection for that person. Almost like saying, this is more important for us to hold on to this and keep discussing it.
And Dixon says dwelling on the past tends to devalue the present. With Fox on Family, Elisa Brady.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program long distance is Amy Lancaster. Amy's in Jackson, Mississippi, but she's coming to Charlottesville, Virginia this weekend for the Women Abide Conference that Joan Hutter is putting together. It's over at Connect Church. It's going to be amazing. Amy, I'd like to move into... there's so much I want to talk to you about. I love your story. I love how Jesus reached out and grabbed you. And now I can hear it in your voice, your dedication to the Lord and your intensity. And I love that about you. I want to hear, and I want our listeners to understand your ministry. So you sort of walk us through where you are. You start wherever you want. You start with where you are now or how you got started. It's up to you.
Well, I got married in 1992. My husband and I, David, married in summer of 1992. And we're super, I never imagined I'd get married after my story and everything, that the Lord is good at restoring and redeeming. And he just is great at that. He gave us three little children, which I didn't think I'd be able to have any children, but God is amazing again. And he gave us three little kids. Our desire from the very beginning is how can our lives actually tangibly serve the Lord? We both grew up in really small towns, really small churches, and so the only grid we had for you giving your whole life to serve the Lord was either you were a preacher and you went to seminary and wore a suit, or you were a missionary and you lived overseas and you lived in a hut. And that sounds kind of funny, but for our upbringing, that was what we knew, that was normal. And our little kids, we didn't want our little kids to think that Jesus was one denomination or one color or one kind of person. And we didn't know what else to do. And so we went to our kids were tiny, and we went to our pastors at the time when they were babies, and they thought we were losing our minds. And we said, okay, God, we'll go. That's how We Will Go started, and that's the name of the ministry, is Isaiah 6:8. God's asking a question, and he says, who will go for us? And Isaiah just says, Lord, I'll go. I'm glad to. Send me. And our answer is, we will go, Isaiah 6:8. So that was how simple our answer was to the Lord. And we wrongly thought that would mean that we would be based overseas, but that's how it started, is we started taking people, connecting with different ministries and missionaries, just some of it through our church, some of it on our own. We started we've been all over the planet. We took our children with us, of course. And so rather than go to Disney World, we would go to Beirut. Rather than go to the beach, we would go to Egypt, and we would reach Muslims with the gospel. And so we just began stepping out in more and more and more faith. And most of the trips were short-term trips, like a week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And again, a heart breaking for really hard things. And our yes to the Lord was, God, we really want to see light shine in the dark. We really don't want to sit around with a bunch of other Christians and compare lights. We really want to see the gospel work in our life. And so we did that for quite a few years, and we sold our home and got out of debt and all those things, thinking that God was going to face us overseas. But the Lord is great and hilarious. He's very funny at how he does things. And what he said to us, we've been here in downtown Jackson now almost 14 years. And what he spoke to us all those years ago is, he said, you can't just love the ends of the earth only. It's also Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. And he said to us, Jackson is your Jerusalem as Mississippians, and it's on fire, and the gates are torn down, and the children are running the streets. And he said, my people really don't care anything about it. I want you to do that. And so we only have, you know, two options when God tells you to do something. You're either going to say yes or you're going to say no. There's not an not partial obedience. It's still complete disobedience with the Lord. And so we said yes. And we moved our family, our little children, into the middle of the city, which I don't know if you know anything about our city, but very destitute, a lot of crime, very, very difficult place that's very completely racially divided. And we are vanilla-colored people, and there's a lot of chocolate-colored people, and that makes for a very interesting dynamic here. And so we did that about 14 years ago and just started loving our neighbor. And it has just been, it still is a huge, 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 huge honor to live in the middle of it and watch the Lord literally transform our city. And that's what we do. We live in it.
Have you been able so many years later to just settle in, and the neighbors just settle in with you, and everybody just understands there's Amy and her family, and they love us and they're here to love us? Or how is that?
It is very, very fun. I'll just use that word. It's very fun because we have a lot of relationships with our neighbors. Well, we know all of our neighbors. So we have about 25 missionaries that live with us. We have a lot of interns and missionaries through the years. Right now we have about 25. And so they live with us, and people come and learn and live and serve and do internships and missionaries from all over the world. And we have also about 5,000 volunteers that come every year. And so the combo of all that is interesting for the neighbors because they know us, obviously. And then to some people, we're a puzzle that can't quite figure out why you would do this and not be making any money. Mm-hmm. And then what does that look like? I mean, we grow vegetables for our neighbors, and that's just the practical part of watching the Lord turn hearts. Mm-hmm. There are obviously people that aren't saved yet and are very violent. The city is not completely saved and transformed yet, so it's a fun journey. It's a fun day-to-day living in it, for sure.
What would you say to somebody who's listening to this program and they're thinking, okay, missionary, sort of as you did, going overseas? Mm-hmm. No, let's do our mission field right where we are.
Well, it's pretty, that's a huge part of our heart. And we, out of all those volunteers that come, a lot of people naturally assume if you're going to serve the Lord, you have to go overseas, which is fine if Jesus asks you to go overseas. But most people, we encourage people, would you stop and ask the Lord? What if he wants you to reach your city? Are you doing that? Even people that say, well, why are you going to go overseas? Because there's so many people lost here. And my reaction is, I agree. America has 300 million souls, and a lot of them do not know the Lord at all. We would all agree with that. Our country is not born again yet. And so my reaction to that is, that's great. If you're not called to go overseas, then what are you doing to reach your city? You are called to share the good news, period. That's not up for discussion. And so we still do both and. We will go, still takes a lot of mission teams. We're going to Africa in a couple of weeks. But the majority of our time and our base, we have three bases here in downtown Jackson, is to reach our city, to reach our Jerusalem. And a lot of times it's funny, but a lot of times that's more challenging for people. Sometimes people would rather go on a mission trip and go and do something for a week or two and then come back home and just go to church and go back home and go to church and go back home, which is not what the Lord taught us to do, of course. He modeled it well. He shared the truth and love every day. his disciples did every day. And so that everyday ministry out of Acts, the early church, is what we really, really aspire to. That's our model. That's our heart.
This is Everyday Faith Radio, and we're talking with Amy Lancaster from As We Go Ministry. And Amy is coming to town this weekend for the Women Abide Conference. Amy, as we're winding down the show, I have to ask your opinion. Are you making a difference in Jackson? I mean, I know you are, but like, are you seeing lives transformed? Or is it hard? Or is it all of the above? Or how's it going?
It is all the above, because anytime you're going to take life into any neighborhood, it doesn't matter if it's rich, poor, it doesn't matter what it looks like. The enemy is going to be pretty mad about that. And in the difficulties are the scripture says that you shouldn't think this strange, this trials that you're going through. This is not odd. This is normal. We're supposed to share in the sufferings of Christ. So, of course, we have difficulties, and, you know, we get robbed and things, and people, you know, that are lost, act like lost people. But the fun, beauty, is we baptized one of our young men on Sunday, and he was in prison for years, didn't know Jesus, never been to church in his life. A lot of people in America have never been to church in their life. They don't know the Lord. Nobody's ever told him about Christ. Mm. He had no clue. And he moved here a couple of years ago when he got out of prison, and is my neighbor, lives right here on my street. And we've been reaching out to him, and he comes and plays basketball in the afternoons, and he gave his life to Jesus, and he's full of the Lord. And we baptized him Sunday. Mm. And we have tons and tons and tons and tons of those testimonies of Jesus, you know, healing and saving and restoring people. And not just the neighborhood, but a lot of the churches that come and groups that come and Boy Scout groups and all this that come and volunteer, many of them are not saved. They may have a form of godliness, or they may be with a group or a team, but they don't know the Lord. We had a bunch of students come this summer that were coming to serve. We have a lot of teams, and this team came from Texas, and they were coming to help with summer camp. We do a huge camp here for our neighborhood of really, really, really needy children. And so we do a camp all summer long. And these young people, one of them was in college, and she realized about halfway through the week, she said, you know, I realized my problem is I've never given my life to Jesus. I'm lost. Hmm. What you guys have, I don't have. And this girl's been in church all of her life. And she got saved. We baptized her in a swimming pool back here at our facility, and it was beautiful. And all the kids and all of our staff rejoiced. So it's what's a greater miracle than that, you know, to watch somebody give their whole life to Christ and to see that transformation happen in a soul. It's the best. It's fantastic. Nothing better.
Amy Lancaster, I can't wait to meet you in person. It's the Women.
Look forward to it.
It's the Women Abide Conference this weekend. It's at Connect Church, Hydraulic Road, right next to Albemarle High School. Come meet Amy, and many other awesome women will be there. This is Everyday Faith. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Amy, your story is amazing, and I really can't wait to meet you in person.
Same here. Thank you for having me.
And I want to say to you and to your family and your entire ministry, to all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.